worship you. We thank you for your love. It endures forever, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus, Father. We thank you that you've well equipped us, Father, with your word, with the word of truth, with the implanted word. So therefore, we have no excuse in our lives, O Lord. And we give you an everlasting praise and everlasting glory, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen? Amen. Amen. Reading the word today, I got to church about 5:30. Begin to read the book of James a little bit. I've been in James for about a week, messing with it a little bit. Nothing too serious. Going through it. I think I read it a couple of times, maybe three times. You know what word caught my attention in the book of James? And it's something I never preached on. But I heard Miss Candy touch on it last Sunday morning. One word caught my attention in the book of James, and it's the word in chapter 2, verse 5. The word listen. What about if we listen more to God instead of reacting on our first thought? Think about that now. When I turn the lights on, it's real dark and I can't see Renee. I turn the lights on. Renee! My bad. Or you, Alex, because of you either. Imagine that. Imagine a world in a Christian society where Christians actually listened. To what? To the voice of God, to his instruction. In the book of James, it's a very hard book to understand. I've been going through it for years, and when I think I got it, figured out, and I realize I don't have it, but hopefully I can help you here today how to. I'm not going to teach you long, but I do feel the teacher on me, because I got a lot of understanding on the book of James today out there in the parking lot. It just started coming to life to me. You know, the book of James is about really a person that is in a crisis because he's being persecuted for his faith. We don't really know what persecution is for our faith here in the United States. Most of what we go through as people is not persecution for our faith. It's usually because we're... Answer it, Alex. It's usually because we're playing with the world. It's usually what we call... Well, I'm having a hard time right now. Well, you're having a hard time because you dug a pit yourself, you know. You dug it yourself. And this is why people get so upset at Jesus sometimes, because they think just because they have faith in God or because they've confessed Jesus is Lord that they got a foundation. They believe in God. But guess what? Guess who else believes in God? The devil believes in God. So the simple fact that you believe in God has nothing to do with me and you making it through a trial in our life. You know, I can't get you through your trial. I can sit here and give you... I talked to somebody today for... Now, I got to talk slow because I feel the teacher on me. I really do. Talked to somebody today for 15 minutes. And I did what the Word told me to do. I listened to God's instruction for that person, and I listened, and it came out real smooth, and the person was edified. This is what I want you to realize, that when you're going through a situation that comes to you because of your faith, no one can see you through that. I can't see you through that trial. If you're, let's say Courtney is making a stand for God at work, or Ashton's making a stand for God and her boss is being mean with her about Jesus, which I'm just, you know, her boss is saying, I don't want you putting the Bible on your desk, Ashton. How dare you say that, Miss Barbara? That's so bad of you. You're not going to bring that religious stuff. I had one of my bosses told me several years ago. He said, you know what? I can't compete with God. I said, you're right, sir. You can't compete with God. And he was shocked at my answer. He was almost threatening me a little bit. He said, you know what, Homer, if you're going to be like that, he said, I can't compete with God. I said, yes, sir. You're right. You can't. You have to do whatever you have to do, sir. Whatever you have to do, you have to do it. Needless to say, 11 years later, I'm still here. But he's right. He can't compete with God. But you know what? If Ashton's employer was an atheist and Ashton came in all happy to work all the time, you know, drinking a coffee, all praise God, you know, worshiping God. And You know, she sat a little by with her waiting for break time. And come lunchtime, Ashton would go to the back of the office and read her Bible for an hour, and the boss would come in. No, you can't do that. We'll miss it. It's my lunch hour. I'm free to do whatever I want to do on my lunch hour, and I choose to read my Bible. You're not going to read it, but ma'am, I can read my Bible all I want. Well, you can't read it inside my store. Okay, that's fine, ma'am. I'm going to go to the parking lot in my car, in my truck, and I'm going to read my Bible. You can't do that either. Ma'am, I'm sorry, but I'm going to read my Bible. No, you're not. You're going to be fired. Well, ma'am, you have to do what you want to do. And Ashton says, well, I need this job, ma'am. I need this job. That is being persecuted for your faith. And you know, only one thing, I just got a glimpse of this today. There ain't but one thing that can see Ashton through that trial. It's not the fact that she, believe it or not, the fact that you believe in God has nothing to do with you being delivered out of your trial. I mean, according to the book of James is not about somebody getting saved. Faith without works is dead. That's not about a person that's about to be born again. The book of James is about a believer that is in a genuine trial or tribulation because they're making a stand for God. I've never been persecuted for my faith. The times that I've had trials and tribulations in my life, I've had some resistance from Satan before, and I walked through it. But the majority of the time in my life, I dug myself a pit, and I jumped in it. Unfortunately, that's the majority of the body of Christ. They're in the same rut. I told a person today, you've been in this same rut for years. I said, the first thing you did is you alienated yourself from this prayer group. Satan nickel and dimed you and brought logic to your mind. And the first mistake you did was get out of this prayer group. I said, it's been a revolving door your whole Christian life. And that's not even what even the book of James is talking about. That's not even the trial that the book of James is making reference to. The trial, the temptation is when me and you as believers stand our firm ground on the rock, which is the sayings of Jesus Christ. So let's say Ashton is being persecuted for this. She's on the verge of being fired. She comes to me for counsel. She goes to Pastor, now I'm not saying I'm with Pastor Dave, God no. She goes to Pastor Dave for counsel. She goes to Pastor Bronk. My counsel can't save you. Nothing that I can tell you can help you through that trial. Nothing in the world. You are a steward whether you're going to come out of that trial or not. When he says faith without works is dead, what does that mean? Do you know what it means? I don't think you do, but I do. Maybe you do and I don't, but I'm going to give it a shot. I can't help Ashton. The number one, men full of wisdom, women full of wisdom can't help her. Only one thing will see you through a trial. One thing will see you through a trial. One thing. I'm talking about a genuine trial because you're being persecuted for your faith. One thing. Not even God, well, to an extent, can see you through that trial unless you do one thing. Not even God, this is why the majority of the church, they'll lift up their hands and they'll praise God in a good thing. Well, I believe in God. Well, believing in God won't see you through a trial. Believing in God won't see you through a tribulation. Believing in God, just believing in God, won't see you through the hard times. Neither will emotionalism. One thing sees me and you through hard times. One thing and one thing alone. Anybody want to take a shot at it? What is it? I can't see you through it. What's that? Obeying, basically the book of James calls it, if you're a hearer and a doer of the word, you shall be blessed. But in all essence, you know what he's really saying? The Ten Commandments are no longer written on a wall for us to see them. They're where? In our hearts. Do not commit adultery. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. You know, do not steal. All that is in our hearts. You're going to have opportunity during that trial. Ashton's going to have an opportunity during that trial to take an offense at who? Think about it in context of what I'm teaching you. She's going to have opportunity to take an offense at who? Her employer. She's going to have opportunity to despise her employer. She's going to have opportunity to call Courtney to talk about her what? Employer. She's going to have opportunity to take an offense at her employer and to want to talk back to her employer. But the book of James says that faith in God without works is dead during a trial. In other words, Ash is going to have ample time to take offense at her employer. But what do you think is going to come out of the inner witness when her employer tries to offend her? Love one another. If Ashton, being born again, hears that instruction, she's going to know. It's not going to be per se word upon word. But she's going to know inside of her through the born again spirit that even if she's being persecuted for that, even if she's being dogged for her faith in God, she's going to know that she has to love the person that's persecuting her. That and that alone, obeying what's right. That's why I said God, to an extent, can't do nothing for her if she doesn't obey the inner witness. But if Ashton knows that she's being persecuted because of integrity's sake, if she hangs on to that inward witness that says, Ashton, you got to love her. And if she loves her consistently, habitually, then God can come and exalt Ashton out of that situation. Notice that James says God resists the proud. There's a teaching going on nowadays that you can fornicate, you can commit adultery, you can drink, you can cuss, you can swear, and it's okay. No, listen, I'm not judging nobody. Look, that's not what this teaching is about. There's preachers that are saying that now, that you don't even have to ask for forgiveness. But the book of James says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Only one problem with that. The proud that he's saying that God resists is a Christian. He gives grace to the humble. The humble one is, let's say Courtney's faced with the same situation that Ashton is. Ashton handles it to a T. She knows what's right. She takes the abuse from this lady. And in that abuse for her faith, she obeys what's right. Courtney, on the other hand, does not obey what's right as a Christian. She is the proud one that God resists, saying, Courtney, I can't do nothing for you. Ashton, you're going to be blessed in your deed because you obeyed my instruction throughout this whole ordeal. Sweetie, I'm about to give you the grace and exalt you out of this situation. That's unheard of nowadays. Teaching says that we can live how we want to live in God because it's all by grace. Well, my Bible just told me, talking to believers, that he resists one believer, can't do nothing for him, but the other believer, he can exalt out of that problem. The Bible tells me and you to listen. During every trial that we go through, the first thing, we're not called to make a remark back. Are you being guilty of it? Yes. He says, listen. So that lady's pounding Ashton, telling her how good she isn't. Ashton's looking at her eyeball to eyeball, just within herself, taking a deep breath. She knows within her heart that lady needs Jesus. Rebellious Courtney on the other side, before that lady can rip Courtney, Courtney's ripping back. Ashton's getting ripped by her employer. She endures it. And she listens. See, Courtney can't carry out God's instruction. Why? Because she didn't listen. She talked first. How many of you know that you can overpower the Holy Ghost if you talk too much? But Ashton, she's taking this 5 minutes worth of abuse. There's a compassion inside of her. They keep saying yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, to the ridicule. Maybe the lady decides to slap Ashton in the face. Ma'am, I just want you to know, if you feel better about yourself for slapping me, here's the other one. Believe it or not, even if the person, Ashton's boss, wouldn't have said anything, Ashton sowed a seed in her heart. A seed of compassion. A seed of love. Now, Courtney, on the other hand, the lady slapped her. I've seen Courtney's arms. Courtney popped her back. Where was the seed of compassion sown? Faith without works is dead. Meaning, Ashton has faith in God. Courtney has faith in God. But in that trial, Courtney made it because the instruction of God inside of her, she heard it and she applied it. That made her faith complete. And God said, Ashton, I'm coming right behind you. Not only am I going to exalt you to this situation, Ashton, but the lady that gave you a hard time, she's going to work for you. Faith without works is dead. Meaning, you can be in the same rut the rest of your life because you never, ever continually obeyed the inner witness. James chapter 1, on the contrary, it calls you a double-minded believer. A double-minded believer receives what from God? Nothing. Had somebody on Facebook was telling me they were rebuking a fever on Saturday morning, but on Friday they drunk a 12-pack. You know, in fact, the book of James says, in fact, at the beginning of chapter 4, it says, where do wars come from within you? He said, you murdered. It wasn't talking about a physical murder. It was talking about hating somebody. He said, you ask. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. He's talking to a believer that's double-minded. A believer that does good when he feels like it, but they do bad most of the time. Listen to what he said. Listen to this carefully. He said, you ask, but you ask amiss. Now, I don't know exactly per context what the double-minded believer is asking for there. But he says, where do wars come from within you? You murder, you lust, you covet, you kill. Not a physical kill, but you're hating somebody. He said, you adulterer. And you adulteress. Not talking about physical adultery. He says, you ask, and you receive not. Listen to this. You ask. I don't know yet to a T what that believer is asking for that's double-minded. I don't know. He said, you ask and receive not because you ask not. And you ask amiss. Listen now. Listen carefully. He's talking to a believer that's in and out. Been in this rut their entire life. Same rut their entire life. He said, you ask. First, he says, you ask and you receive not. Let me read it word for word. And I'm almost there. Listen to this now. He said, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do not from your pleasures that war in your members. Listen to me. You lust and do not have. You murder. It's not talking about a physical murder. You're hating somebody. You're treating somebody real bad. Not according to the inner witness. Listen to this. You lust and do not have. Remember what we're going through. We're talking about me and you going through a legitimate trial because of our faith. We're not talking about me and you suffering because we're playing with the world. We're talking about a Christian person that's living right, living holy. Making the night of a trial. Listen to this though. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war yet you do not have. Listen to this. You do not have because you do not ask. Verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. Listen to this now. He's talking to a double-minded believer. A believer that has one foot in the world. This is why a person that's double-minded never has his or her prayers answered. Listen though. Even when they ask. Listen to this. Listen carefully now. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you, okay, if Alex had an annihilator in his hand and I wanted it and he didn't know I wanted it and I didn't ask him for it, am I going to get it? No, because I didn't what? Listen to this. Right. You guys are geniuses. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. Now listen to this. James seems like he's going crazy. He seems retarded here. 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. Okay, Holy Spirit. He says, I didn't get from Alex because I didn't ask. Then you said, I asked and did not receive because I asked amiss. So if Alex has got a green now later, the Apple ones, which are the best ones, or a red lightsaber, or a red or purple jelly bean. I hate the black ones. Can I have your red lightsaber? Everybody likes the red lightsabers, right? Everybody? You gotta like, can I have that red lightsaber, Alex? Sure you can, Homer. But he'd probably say no. No, because your sugar don't get high. I hate when he says that. Between him and my wife. No, because your sugar gets high. I ask him for it now later. He says yes. Because I asked him for it. Now, if he has that red lifesaver, I know I want it. He doesn't know I want it. I don't get it because I don't ask. But then I ask, and he says no because I ask amiss. Listen to what the writer's saying. I'm almost done. We're going to worship God tonight. He says, first, you ask and you receive not. Then he says, you didn't ask. Hold on. I messed myself up. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. Okay, we understand that. I didn't get it because I didn't ask, right? Then he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. So I asked. Then he says, but you didn't ask. Are you with me on this? Or are you confused? Are you with me? Raise your hand if you're with me. I want to make sure you know. He says, you asked and didn't receive because you didn't ask, and then you asked. This is what he's saying, man. You got to get a hold of this. You asked. You didn't receive. See, because you didn't ask, you didn't receive. Because you're asking amiss. What he's saying is this. As a double-minded, born-again believer, you asking in your inconsistency, Father, come and touch this situation. He said, you're better off not even what? Asking. Because there is nothing in the world but give you repentance that he can do for you in a trial. You ask, God, come. Father, I know you're going to be faithful. He said, it's better off you didn't even ask. Because God said, he resists the proud, which is the believer that's double-minded. He said, I resist you. Not that he wants to. Not that he wants to be mean. He says, you asked and didn't receive. Why, Lord? But I asked because you didn't ask. You asked me out of need. You asked me because you had nowhere else to turn. You knew how to live. Yet you opposed my right instruction because you wanted to live your own life. So you asked and didn't receive because you didn't ask. So just because you ask and believe in God doesn't mean you're going to receive. But if you ask and believe in God and does what He says from inside, my sister, my brother, you will be exalted out of that trial. Because that's all He can do is touch righteousness. He can't touch anything else. He says, God resists the proud. He resists Courtney in her rebellion, but Ashton in her obedience. He said, Ashton, I'm going to come. I'm going to flex my muscle in your life, and I'm going to exalt you out of this situation because you love me. So a person that's stuck in the same rut their whole Christian life is because they're so double-minded. God can do nothing for them. They ask. They're better off not even asking because He can't answer the prayer. Don't that sound kind of cruel though? But that's the kingdom of God. Can you imagine me wanting my wife to devote all her love to me when she knows that I have a mistress on the side? Honey, you're not showing me affection. You're not treating me like the high priest of the home, baby. Why? Maybe it's because you came home with a hickey on your neck that I didn't put on there, maybe. Maybe it's because you come home smelling like perfume. How can she devote to me all her heart to a man that is being unfaithful to her? She can't devote that to me because I'm not giving her all that I have. We have a mistress here on the other side that my wife knows that I'm messing with. How can she devote to me all that I feel I deserve? She can't. But what if I treat her like a queen? What if I give her all that I have? That she'll give me in return the love that I feel she deserves to give me. It's the same thing with God. God is not a candy store. He's not the, what is it? He's not the State Farm insurance agent. You know, I want a hot tub. Boom. Got a hot tub. The guy said, I want to grow in 4E. Boom. He isn't a magician. He's a faithful, powerful, loving, almighty God that blesses one thing, and He blesses righteousness. God wants to flex His muscle in your life, but it's not going to happen just because you believe in God. Your faith in God is made complete by me and you doing what God asks us to do from within. When we do what He asks us to do from within, He can come, and there isn't one situation on the face of this earth that He can't deliver me and you out of. Even if it's facing death at the last minute, He'll come. And He'll deliver me and you out of every single situation. Honey, I want you to treat me like a man. I want you to show me love. My wife says to me, well, I would if you treat me like a wife. How can I love you when you have a girlfriend? Jesus said, James said, you adulterer and adulteress. He said, don't you know that enmity with friendship with the world, you make yourself an enemy of God? When I play with the world, no matter how much I cry, no matter what I say, no matter how many scriptures I quote, no matter how much I say I have faith in God, if I'm playing with the world, James said, you adulterer. He said, Homer, God's resisting you. He's resisting you not to the capacity that He's getting rid of me, not to the capacity that He's inflicting me with sickness. It's to the capacity that He can do nothing for me as His son. But forgive me if I want forgiveness. He said, God resists the proud. Homer, you want to stay in that state that you're in. You made yourself an enemy to me, Homer. You adulterer. You knew to do what was right, yet you did it not. Ashton. You brought me glory during this situation. You knew you were being treated in an unjust way. But you stood your ground, Ashton, because you love me. I'm going to flex my muscle in your life, Ashton, and I'm going to exalt you because I give grace unto the humble. Are you with me on this? I want to make sure you're with me. I want to know that if I'm ever backed into a corner because of what I stand for, I want to know, do I always know? No. And really, before God, I'm not judging anybody in here. I just got this today. Some of this stuff it's been brewing in my heart and just come out today. But I do want to help you. If this is you, it is for you, and I want to help you. Because we don't have to stay in the same rut our whole life. I told that person there on the phone, it's the same thing with you all the time. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And they cried and they received it. You know why? Because I said it with compassion and love, and I listened. I listened to the Holy Spirit. So if God comes and rescues me from every trial and tribulation, then I got it made. I have nothing to fear. But if I live an inconsistent life in God, He can do nothing in our lives. Listen to me. He said God resists the proud. The proud that He resists, when He was talking to a born again believer. He said, there's nothing I can do for you, Courtney. My daughter, I love you so much. I love you, Courtney, and I want to flex my muscle in your life. You're a daughter of the kingdom, Courtney. You operate from within. Come to me, Courtney. Let me forgive you. He said, mourn and weep. Repent that I may exalt you out of that situation. But to Ashton, he says, oh, Ashton, you're going to know that I'm God, sister. I'm finna come get you. This says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Drawing nigh to God is not this. It's not an emotion. When He says, draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. The drawing part to Ashton was, Ashton, I'm going to come get you out of this situation. You drew nigh to me. You did what was right, Ashton. You drew nigh to my instruction. Now I'm going to draw nigh to you, and I'm going to exalt you out of that situation, my daughter. Why? Because I love you. You demonstrated my love to a sinner that I was real by your actions. I told you to love her, and you loved her 6 months from now, Ashton, because of your work, because of you fulfilling faith inside of yourself. That person's going to be born again because you sowed a seed in her heart. A seed of love and compassion. But that was being taught about this grace that you can do whatever you want, that is a lie from the pits of hell. If that's the case, then why read the book of James? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He wanted to do for Courtney what He did for Ashton. But Courtney had her own agenda. That's why people can't figure out God. They even got a book out that says when God doesn't make sense. There's a book out that says that when God does, God always makes sense, man. So it's God's fault that Courtney acted in rebellion and didn't live out her salvation with fear. God wanted to help her so much. Are you understanding this, my friends? I'm not judging anybody here. Guys, I got my issues in my life. So I like to be upfront and honest with everybody. I got issues in my life. And I'm not here judging anybody for anything that they're doing wrong. I just want to teach you through God's word why you're stuck in the same rut year in and year out. If you can't seem to move, you're involved in the same frustrations year in and year out, is because you're double-minded. You hear what's right, and you don't do what's right. person that isn't double-minded hears what's right and they do what's right. The person that you're hearing and the person that you're obeying is none other than God Almighty. God says, oh, Ashton. This morning in church, I didn't even tell nobody, and I'm done in about 5 minutes. I was there, and I don't know if it was a vision. I don't know what it was. I really don't. And I'm almost done. Just pay attention to me. I don't know if I painted a picture myself or the Holy Spirit showed me something. I was worshiping God. There was darkness behind me. I think I had on a red shirt, and I was just there by myself. And I was worshiping Jesus. And I saw this man on a white throne. He had white clothes on. I couldn't see a face. I tried to put a face, but I could never put a face on him. And as I was worshiping, which I knew it to be Jesus, you know, Jesus is our perfect example of what love is. And as I was there by myself, I saw this man. I knew it was him. I couldn't put a face on him, but I knew it was the throne room of God. I knew Jesus was there. And he was just there. I saw this man like he was so full of wisdom, so full of compassion. And he looked at me, eyeball to eyeball. And I was just there worshiping. I had my hands lifted up. And I was worshiping him. And I knew when I was worshiping this man, I knew that he knew my faults. I knew that he knew the weaknesses I had in my life. But he looked at me. And he never changed his appearance. He never changed his face. He looked at me with eyes of wisdom, with eyes of compassion. And you know what I got out of this dream? I don't know if it's a dream or a vision. I don't know what it was. This man, his countenance, his face, his attitude towards me, it never changed. Even when he knew, when I knew that he knew what I struggled with, this man named Jesus Christ looked at me intently with eyes of love and compassion. He didn't question the wrong that I had in my life, but he was so pleased that I was trying my best to go into him. And this person, this man named Jesus, looked at me. And I felt so comfortable knowing that he wasn't judging me, but he was receiving my praise. He never changed his expression towards me, as we should never change our expression towards each other. But even as awesome, and I felt so edified after I saw that, because he wants me and you to be the same way towards each other when we know our faults. When I know your faults and then I don't know your faults. He wants me and you to reach that place. The way he sees me, he wants me and you to see each other. And really, before God, I judge no one of any transgression. Because in judging you, I judge the law. I make myself, I'm not going to get in that because you won't understand it. But even in that, and I'm done in 2 or 3 minutes, even in that love and those fiery eyes that I've seen, he didn't judge me. Now, just because he didn't judge me doesn't mean he'll come and rescue me out of a trial. That means he's saying with himself, come on, son. Keep coming higher. Keep coming higher. But we cannot practice more evil than we do good. We can't. If we do, James labels me and you a double-minded man or woman who can receive nothing from God. We can receive nothing from Him. I want my love, my wife to give me all her love, her affection, her emotion. I want her to treat me like a king. But you know what? Even if she doesn't, I'm the high priest of the home. I go to her and show her affection. With Jesus, we want all that He is. We want His promises. We want His provision. We want His blessing. But you can't have If you don't believe Jesus at his daily word on how to live, you won't believe that he can give you provision. Because you only have one spirit. You might say the right things. That don't mean nothing. We all say the right things. We're all going to quote a scripture. I will tell you what you want to hear, and you'll never know something's wrong with me unless you pray and the Spirit consistently and you discern. We will always say the right thing to each other and God, won't we? And I finish off with this, my friends. If you're stuck in a rut because you're living right, I got good news for you. By you listening to God through the instruction from within, you're drawing nigh to Him. And guess who's coming to rescue you? Big bad Papa Jesus is coming to rescue you. He'll exalt you out of that situation. He said, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh. What do you mean you're going to draw nigh to me? I'm coming to get you, man. You're in a fight for your life because you're living right. Oh, you ain't about to be there long. I'm coming. And I'm going to exalt you out of that situation. But if Miss Rosie's in a situation that she created because of her flesh, Miss Rosie cheats on me, she has an affair with somebody, and she thinks that's a trial. That's not a trial. That's sin, buddy. But God, I'm so miserable. I'm so miserable. I'm trying my best, God. I'm trying my best, but oh my God, but I love my husband, but I love him too, Lord. But that's how the church thinks, though. That's not a trial, man. That's not a trial. That's sin. What James is talking about has nothing to do with sin. A legitimate trial in God has nothing to do with it. Some people think that what they're going through is a trial. No, it's not a trial. It's not a trial. But the good thing about it, if you are double-minded, as I've been in the past, James gives me and you the remedy. He says, weep and mourn, you sinner. You double-minded. In other words, this is out the simplicity in Jesus. Repent. Repent means this right here. Here's the sin. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want no part of this anymore. This is what repent means. Where you do a 180 and you walk away from that sin. And if by chance you're struggling with something, you say, Lord, forgive me. You find yourself doing it again in a week. Guess what you do? Jesus, forgive me. I walk away from this filth. Believe it or not, you do have the power within you to walk away from any situation in the flesh. That's why people can't seem to know how awesome God is, because they try to experience Him living their own life. Oh, God, where were you at, God, when I called on your name, Lord, but baby David was, I'm talking to myself now, I don't want to, David's so sick, Lord, you sent Jesus to heal my sickness, God, where were you? David's got leukemia, Lord, he's 8 years old, he's just a baby. He's got, Lord, where were you in this, Lord, where were you in this? Why didn't you come? He wanted to come. He wanted to come. See, David's not accountable yet, or I don't think he is. No, he's not. Maybe, maybe not. But if me and his mama, at the age of 5, were playing with the world, there's a door here. My kids are here. Me and my wife were playing with the world. We opened that door up, and my kids, they're a free game. But yet, Satan comes into the door, puts sickness on my child. I sit there and I cry, God, where were you? Oh, I was there the whole time. Don't you know, Alex, that I resist the proud, but I give grace unto the humble? It wasn't the baby's fault that it happened to him. He wasn't accountable. Me and my wife were the accountable ones. We played with the world. We cheated on each other. We were drunks on drugs. We nullified our vows in God. I opened up a door for Satan to come in and to attack my children. But me and my emotion, God, where were you, Lord? I believed in you. I believed in you. No. Believing in God is obeying God. Now Satan comes in. Me and my wife are living well. Living well in God. Satan comes and afflicts my son with sickness. I can rejoice in that. Because if Satan came to inflict sickness on my child because me and my wife were living right, then guess who's going to come and touch my son? Jesus. Are you seeing how the kingdom of God works? Are you seeing how it works? I'm here to help you, friends. Sometimes helping somebody, it hurts. I want to help you get over your hump. You just got to be willing not to listen to me, but to obey what's right from within. Jesus did everything according to God's instruction from within. And he's called me and you to live the same way. Because you can't have the both worlds. Walk in the authority of God, being a Christian, my friends, it's going to cost you something. It should cost your friends. Being a Christian costs you stuff. There's some things that just have to go. And my prayer is today, as we wind this night out before we worship, is that you know that you look into my eyes. I want you to look into my eyes and know without a shadow of a doubt that I am here to help you. I am here to help you, man. Learn from my errors. Learn from my mistakes. As I've always told Alex, he never wanted to hear it, but he's prayed himself into a place where he hears us. Learn from my mistakes. Learn from my mistakes. And learn from my victories also. Satan came to inflict my eyesight, and he did it for a season until I got tough in the spirit. Come with me on this journey, man. We're different people. We have the Spirit of God within us. He wants to give grace to me and you and exalt us out of every single situation. There's nothing in the world that we shouldn't be able to go through because of God's grace given to the humble believer. The same grace is not extended to every single believer. In fact, he resists the proud but gives grace unto the humble. Are you perfect, Pastor Homer? Nope. Ask my wife. Ask my kids. Ask my co-workers that we work together with. They'll tell you I got my days. But like Pastor Bronk says, though, just because I drive 65 in a 55, there's a difference, my friends. And me going out and having an affair on my wife, there's a big difference. Because I go 65 and a 55, it's not the same sin it is cheating on my wife. Two different things. The book of James is an awesome book for you to go through and put it in your system. That's why some kids, they come to church and they don't come no more. Because they want to cry out the name of God and live their own life. And God seems so distant from them. In all essence, they've made themselves an enemy of God. God didn't back down from them. Amen. I'm just here to help you, man. I'm just here to help you. I'm just here to help you. No other reason. I'm just here to help you. The truth has to be taught. If you don't know God, if you don't know the Word of God, you're going to have a hard time understanding Jesus. You're going to have a hard time knowing Him in truth if you can't understand His Word and the way His kingdom works. Make no mistake, friends, it is a kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. So let's me and you grow together as a family. There's power, my friends, when we congregate as a family. I went to a family reunion yesterday and I cried because I was with my family I haven't seen in years. bunch of them were sinners, and whew, boy, were they sinners. But I was still with my family. I was just glad that we were there together. My dad was there. My dad never goes anywhere with his family. We were all there as one big happy family. We had some good ribs too. We're a family. Let's not segregate from each other. Let's congregate. Let's do what Alex is doing with the prayer group. Let's come together, go out, visit each other. Don't distance yourself from everybody. Pray with each other. Cry with each other. But don't ever ask me to feel sorry for you, because I won't. Listen, I lost a sister, lost my eyesight, almost lost a son to jail all in 2 months, so I ain't feeling sorry for you. They ain't going to get it from me. My pastor didn't feel sorry for me. He said, go pray, boy. I said, okay, thank you. Ain't no mercy here. Hey, Pastor Bronk, I'm going through a hard time. My dog died. My house payment went up. I gained 25 pounds. I got double responsibility at work with the same pay. My sister died. My big toe hurts. Lost my job. My cat's gay. A lot of things going on in my life, Pastor. My mother-in-law, she moved in with me. Quit and got 2 earrings. Elijah wants to play volleyball and golf. He quit baseball. Nathaniel wants to cheer. Pastor, I'm going through a rough time. Can you counsel me? Homer. Yeah. Have you been reading your Bible and praying? No. We'll read it in the discussion. That's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the same thing. My words to you, if you don't obey Jesus, you sure the heck ain't going to obey me. Partner. Now, I will counsel you if you're a babe in Christ. I will. Have you been in as long as I have? Mm-mm. I ain't wasting my time. There's your counselor right there. There's your counselor. And the edifier and the comforter and the exhorter, his name is the Holy Spirit. If you could ever come to terms with yourself that God's all you need, you'll make it in this walk. Spend time with Jesus. I urge you all, Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, come see Alex here at 7:30. We're praying in the Spirit for an hour a day. Come. He'll pick you up. And if it gets too big, we'll fire up the bus. We're going to get a bus driver. Pray that we can find a bus driver, because there's a need out there. We just got to have some men to step it up in the church and want to drive that bus. Not forcibly, but they want to drive it. I don't want nobody here that doesn't want to be here. Stand with me, please.